Jonathan Alexander. Sandy Childs.
Here.
Jane Goodman.
Here.
Ricardo Hernandez. Stephen Kaiser.
Here.
Doug Kriegel. Doug Kriegel's not here. Maggie Lapeet.
In the car, trying to find the car.
Okay. Ali Lessa, here.
Present.
Barbara Marbach.
She's in the bathroom.
Oh, her. Ismail Kara.
Here.
Reza Poor.
Here.
Dorothy Reich, excused absence. Milo Reason, excused absence. Lawrence Reyes.
Yeah.
Mansoor Sabah.
Excused absence.
Lance Simmons.
Here.
Fernando Velasquez.
With anything.
Lisa Wong.
Here.
Okay, we have 13. We have four.
I would like to make a motion that all of the people that he mentioned as having excused absences, that we formally excuse their absences.
Second.
Okay. I did not mention Jonathan Alexander. Does he have an excused absence?
No. He didn't ask for it.
You might be coming.
Yeah.
Ricardo Hernandez.
Ricardo Hernandez asked me to be here.
Okay. Doug Kriegel.
No idea.
Maggie Lapeet is coming. Barbara Marbach is here. So the only one who doesn't have. All right, so we'll just wait for the ones that we don't know about. Let's see. We have excused absences as item D on the list, so why don't we go through the previous... I'm taking your position, but why don't we go through the items on the agenda, and then when we get to them, see who's still not here.
Okay, so we have quorum, and next item of business is to see the new board member, Marlena Bond. Welcome to the local station board, Marlena. And would you like to make any introductory statement?
I've been at the station since 2003, and I've worked in several roles. Started out briefly in the newsroom where I was briefly mentored by Fernando. And I learned a lot, and then I moved on to subscriptions, and I learned the computer system there, and helped with fulfilling premiums, and then I became the traffic coordinator. I also was assisting Eva and Armando at the time with their emails and phone calls and office, and then I became the traffic coordinator, interim traffic coordinator for about a year. And now I'm producer of Poets Cafe and other shows.
Welcome.
Thank you. Happy to offer my
advice
or answer questions.
Thank you, brother.
Answer questions.
Yeah, after so many years
there,
I shouldn't
have. Anyone want to volunteer to be a timekeeper?
I'll do this anyway.
Okay. Anyone for individual?
Are you looking for timers? I'm sorry.
Yeah, timekeepers.
I'm doing the segment, Barbara. We'll do the people.
All right.
And Barbara will do the people, the individual. Okay. Any objections to excusing the excused absences? Hearing none, they are excused. So, I'll take a motion to approve the proposed agenda.
So moved.
Any objections to approving the proposed agenda? I would like to add one item under closing business. In between next meeting location and adjourning, we should do a collection for the use of this room. And does anyone want to volunteer to collect the money for that? Roberta?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Roberta.
And if you want me to identify your name as you do it, that's fine, or else just quietly hand it in, whatever
works
for you. I think
we can just pass the hat. Grace and Jen?
I emailed David, the head of the cab, and he can't make it today. So I suggest that we eliminate that from the agenda, but put it on next month's.
Okay, so item 5 will be removed from the agenda?
Right.
Jen?
I wanted to know what the cost of the room is so that we can...
They said that if we just pass the hat and whatever we collect will be fine.
Oh, okay.
That was what Mansour told me.
I'm not a board member, but maybe someone could make a motion to add the motions to last month's minutes as addendums.
I think that was... That was for the closed session.
Yeah.
So, I don't think that we should talk about the closed session that are in open session. Okay. So, with those adjustments to the agenda, are there any opposition to approving the agenda? Hearing none, it's approved. So item F, I'll take a motion to approve the local station board minutes from April 9th, 2017. That does not include the closed minutes. Okay.
Second.
Any objections to accepting the local station board minutes from April 9th, 2017? Hearing none, it is so approved and may be posted on KPFGS. Next item for business is to take nominations and elect a vice chair. Do I hear any nominations for vice chair?
I would like to nominate Barbara Marbach.
Okay. Barbara, do you accept that nomination?
Yeah.
Are there any other nominations for vice chair? Going once. Going twice. Three times. Is there any opposition to electing Barbara vice chair by acclamation? Hearing none. Barbara Marbach is our new vice chair. Barbara, would you like to make any introductory comments about becoming vice chair?
Well, I hope to do my best. I'm going to rely a lot on Roberta because I have to go through the bylaws and really know what's involved. But I'm excited to be on the board in this time frame in terms of moving forward. So, go soon.
Thank you, Barbara. And at this point on our agenda, we have time for public comments. Would anyone from the public like to make a comment?
Yes. Are we recording this?
Oh, that's a good question.
No? I see a camera over there.
The camera's there.
I believe Charles is videotaping.
Is it on and running?
Yes, it looks like it's on. Yes.
So do we want, where would you like to have the public comments?
I think that the public can...
Stand up where they are.
You just stand up where they are to make a comment. I'm sorry, before public comment, we have a couple of questions. Raisa?
Yeah, I'm wondering, you ask for public comment. You choose this venue for what purpose? To bring the other people that are new to this organization to be familiar with KPFK. Where is public? Who chose this venue?
Okay. Lauren?
Yeah, I kind of... kind of fell asleep on the table of the agenda, and I think for the time
where would you speak up?
Yeah, I think I fell asleep on approving the agenda, and I think public comment is too early.
We will have another session for public comments later.
Okay, because I don't see that on the agenda.
Well,
number 5-6.
Okay, Steve, then
Jim, I don't think the public has much to comment on. If we put this after the committee reports, then more of the public will show up, and we'll have stuff to talk about. But we really haven't covered stuff today we want to talk about very much.
Okay. Well, I'd like to allow the public to make
a comment. Public comment.
Okay, one moment, Fernando, and then I'll go to public comment.
Yes, my suggestion. The camera's in a fixed position, so I would like to think that in order to include the public comment on the recording, if in fact the camera is recording, it should be in an angle where
can
be recorded.
They could be right there. That's what I'm saying.
It's catching. Yeah. It's catching all of that.
Okay.
Okay.
That's it's catching now. All of that.
Oh, okay. Never
catching
mind.
All the way back to here for number.
Thanks.
Okay. Great.
Okay. So yes, sir. Public comment, please.
Yeah. I've been attending KPFK LSB meetings for several years. 6, 7. I think I can do it. I've never seen a change of venue happen like this one. I mean, the idea is to have public input, to be transparent, and what you're doing by changing it to another location is absolutely despicable. I'll say it again, despicable. You need to be out in the open, you need to really be transparent, and you need to promote democracy, not the little cabal that several people, you and Dottie and, you know, your husband and other people set up with a glossy mail. You need to actually support the community, and the community will support you. Okay? And to have a change of venue is really wrong. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. We're on public comments now, so I'm not hearing from any board members. Any other public comments? Yes, please.
I have to totally agree with the gentleman. We found out just within the last week or so that there was a change of venue. And, you know, for a lot of people, it did not make a difference to have to figure out how to get here if they're on public transportation. And I don't know if you guys took that into account when you chose this place. So you do need to take those things into account. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comments? I would just like to mention that the next meeting location is on the agenda before the end of the meeting, so we will discuss that. If there's no other public comments, I will certainly extend the next public comment period if needed, so that we can get the full amount of public comments warranted. At this time, we're going to move on to directors and treasurers reports, starting out with Grace Era.
Okay, thank you. I wrote a little report. I have a few copies, if anyone wants a copy of the board members.
Can you send me an electronic one?
Sure, I already did. I'm not done this. Anyway.
Oh, any more?
Okay, I have a few more. And okay, so anyway, the Pacifica National Board met on Thursday, May 11th. In that meeting, several motions were passed that came from the National Finance Committee. I think I'll stand so I don't have to focus read. And one was to rescind a complicated motion from the fall of 2016 that changed the way income from subcarriers is used. Subcarriers, they're considered sidebands, and they do generate a little bit of income. It's been going for a long time to the national office. There was an attempt to shift that revenue to stations or whatever, but we just rescinded that because it's too complicated. It was just causing too much work for the national office. Another motion was passed that gives more authority to the CFO to manage business managers across the network so that preparations for the 2015 audit, which will be starting shortly, are sped up and so that other financial reporting is carried out faster and more efficiently.
A third motion from the National Finance Committee also passed, mandating a one-day fund drive to benefit the national office, as the lack of payments of central services by several stations has resulted in a severe financial situation for the national office. Our committees are functioning. The National Finance Committee is meeting regularly and, as you can see, has put forward several important resolutions that were adopted by the PNB. The Audit Committee is meeting frequently. It has already sent out requests for information to accounting firms so that we can choose one to conduct our 2015 audit. Replies have been received, pertinent questions have been asked and responded to by email, and the committee will most likely hire a firm shortly, with PNB approval, of course. The Programming Committee has been meeting as well. Two motions from that committee will be on the agenda for our next meeting this coming Thursday, May 25th. One motion adds a clause to every program director's job description. The second one outlines how individual programs should be evaluated. And the motions are on the back of this, my report, by the way. They haven't passed the National Board yet, but they're going to be on the agenda for Thursday. The Governance Committee also met this week and is working on an important motion to ensure that there are safeguards in place to curtail large off-budget expenditures. By the way, if you're interested, you can listen to National Board and Committee meetings online at kpftx.org. I don't know about the other committees, the Personnel Committee, or the Committees of Inclusion, or the Task Forces. I don't know if they've met or how they're functioning. Possibly other PNB directors can talk about that. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg.
Thanks, Bruce.
Did you want to talk at all about the KPFGX and KPFW item that you spoke to me about, or not at this time? The sponsorship.
No, there is a. I haven't put forward this motion. I've written a motion. Yeah, we'll talk about that. I've written a motion that I haven't submitted anywhere yet about corporate sponsorship. There is an effort by KPFT and possibly by WPFW to institute corporate sponsorship, which is, I think, should be not allowed. It actually violates the Pacifica employee handbook. But it also goes against over 60 years of tradition in Pacifica that we don't take corporate funding. So it hasn't really ramped up, but I think that the PNB should just call a whole halt to that, maybe with some provisions for some funding from nonprofits, but I don't think that there should be a quid pro quo. In other words, if anyone, a for-profit or a nonprofit organization, wants to donate money, even large amounts of money, I think that should be allowed, and we should thank them on the air. But there shouldn't be any stipulation that there's a contract that we give them airtime to promote themselves on a regular basis on the air. That's what the definition of corporate sponsorship is. I mean to, in the next few weeks, put that forward to the National Board. And I just wanted to let you know and maybe see how you feel about that.
Thank you, Grace. Jan Goodman?
I think that Grace has done a very good job in bringing up what's happening on the national level, so I don't need to spend any time to add to that. Other than, I will add that the affiliates committee is in the process of trying to organize, and we have additional affiliates, and and the affiliates were not being billed for almost a year, and they're now that's back on target and they're beginning to be billed again. So that's good. And for the secretary, we have Doug Krugler just walked in.
Yeah. And Maggie LaPique also arrived.
And Steve Kaiser, do you want to join us at the table here? There's a space.
I think he's more comfortable.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm good. I feel included.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thank you. So at the present time, Jonathan Alexander, Mansoor Saba, and Ken Aaron are not here, so we can move on to questions and answers.
You know, before that, Ken's not here, and I'm on the Finance Committee. He did a really good Treasurer's Report. Would it be okay if I read it? Because it has a, even though I have a few printed copies and everything is sent out to everyone, I think it's important for the audience and, you know. To
sure, if you want to give us the highlights.
I need a copy because I'm getting emails. So.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Is that okay?
That's fine.
All right.
So this will be the treasurer's section.
I wouldn't do this, but I think it's got a lot of good information that we all should know and consider. He says that the 2015 financial files are nearly prepared for the audit. Deadline for the preparation is May 30th. Personally, one of the reasons that Ken actually put forward a motion giving the CFO more authority is because the one station that doesn't have its audit prep for the 2015 audit, this is like, you know, from years ago, is KPFA, and they are fully staffed. They have 30 paid staff, I believe, and there's no excuse for it. So we are pressuring the management of KPFA to get that information to the CFO. Now, just to let you know, Barry Brooks, who's our business manager, okay, let me back up. The deadline for the completion of the 2015 audit is August 27, 2017. That was an extension given us. You want this?
Yes.
Okay. That was an extension given to us by the California Attorney General. If we don't meet that deadline, we may lose our nonprofit status. That's why a lot of attention is being put on the 2015 audit. We also have to do the 2016 and then the 2017, of course. Our business manager is working on KPFK finances 3 days a week. He's also helping to prepare the files for WPFW and WBAI for the 2015 audit. Recently, KPFK finished the Integrated Station Information System report for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. I think it was especially hard to do this year. There were more questions. KPFK is basically performing within the current budget guidelines. There are no unusual or surprising expenditures or revenue, except for $79,000 endowment, of which the National Office used $25,000 to satisfy part of a legal judgment, and the rest of which was used for KPFK payroll. The current status of KPFK's major past dues due liabilities is as follows. Pension payments, $60,000. Past due premium fulfillment, $40,000. And this is, we have caught up, it was $70,000 a few months ago. So we have gotten that premium backlog down by about $30,000. Past due central services payments to the national office, $250,000. These are debts. We failed to pay our central services payments to the national office for an extended period of time. This is prior to 2016. So, but anyway, we have been making current central services payments for the last couple of years. There may be some unpaid severance amounts still due from personnel terminations. The business manager feels that next year's budget should increase expenditures by 5% and projected income by 6 to 10%. According to the business manager's estimate, KPFK is operating with 10,000 to 15,000 positive per month, which can be applied to outstanding debts. The business manager thinks KPFK financial management could benefit by upgrading our Great Plains accounting software and by putting in an online computer-driven time card system. According to him, there's a lot of wasted time in the financial area because, you know, it's not known when people come and leave and whatever, and it takes up a lot of time. So as far as the national financial issues,
The national office, as I mentioned, is severely underfunded due to backlog central service payments from all the stations except KPFA, totaling approximately a $1 million deficit. Our primary importance at this time is completion of the consolidated audits. Well, we know about that. At least three stations, WPFW, WBAI, and KPFT, are operating at a loss. And KPFT actually is operating at a dangerous level. Their income has declined significantly.
Which one, KPFT?
KPFT in Houston. Yeah. That's our Houston station. KPFA and KPFK are operating at a moderate level, but sometimes drop below zero. The recently hired Chief Financial Officer, Sam Agarwal, has taken control of financial operations at the national office and across the network. The National Finance Committee, with its newly seated members, met for the first time on May 2nd. And then I mentioned there were two other motions that were proposed by the National Finance Committee that did pass the National Board. I told you about the rescinding the subcarrier motion. And also I told you about the CFO being granted greater control over financial personnel. But also it was agreed by the PNB that all stations would hold an 18-hour fund drive to raise money for national office expenses because there's such a shortfall at the national office. That's it.
Okay, thank you. We're going to take questions. Did you want to add, Jan, to the report?
Yes, actually. I wanted to add a couple of things. One is just to notify everybody here. You may have seen it in emails or not, but there was a new nonprofit was created fairly recently called Big Tent Radio. And I think this is very important. It was created by, among other people, the chair of the LSB of KPFA. And it was created undercover. That is to say, it was not discussed by the LSB. It was created as a separate thing. There was no announcement of it. And there were solicitations to support and give money, to support and go on the board of this new, quote, Big Tent Radio. And they said that it was designed, they sent out a letter which said that Pacifica Radio was about to collapse, and they were creating this new nonprofit to take over the assets of Pacifica.
Captured the assets.
Pardon?
KPFA. Literally, they said capture.
Capture the assets.
So, and they also talked about the collapse and bankruptcy. And one of the things that I think is important to know, well, previously there had been another nonprofit created, again, undercover without letting anybody know about it. And that was created by colleagues and friends of this same chair of the KPFA LSB, and that was created by, among other people, Margie Wilkinson and Dan Siegel. And once it was sort of discovered, people made it clear this is a conflict of interest, that apparently has gone by the wayside, although we don't know for sure. And then this new Big Tent Radio was created, and there was clearly a conflict of interest. They contacted people, not only a conflict of interest, but probably more than that. But they contacted people who are supporters, who are long-term supporters of Pacifica, asking them basically to shift their support to this new nonprofit. And And I am reminded that, and I believe that it is quite likely that the failure of KPFA, which has a large full-time staff and has the capability of putting together their financial declarations, that they are their financial information and the audit, that they are stalling and not putting together their financial information in order to try to stall the audit, which would then bring down the wrath of the Attorney General and also make it more difficult for the entire Pacifica network to get financing in the form of grants or CPB funding or anything else. So I just wanted people to understand the dynamics of, one of the things that's happening, not per se on the national board, but it's one of the issues of concern to the national board, and I think it should be of concern to Pacifica members in general. And
thank you, Jen.
Oh, I also want to say one thing, and that is that the idea of having public comment at the beginning of the agenda, after the agenda has been set, many times people complain that they don't get a chance to talk about issues before a decision is made, because we have the meeting, decisions are made, and then there's public comment. So the idea of having public comment early on after the agenda has been set is a part of the response to that. So people can put in comments early on before decisions are made, and so it's not just a reaction to what people are saying. Anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jen. I'm going to take the staff. I have Fernando, Roberta, Ismael, hold on. Lawrence, and Barbara. Did I miss anyone? Okay. Fernando, and this is a question and answer session for the directors, where the board may provide the directors and about the treasury report also with questions about what was reported. Yes, Fernando.
My first question is to Grace. I wasn't quite clear about the decision regarding the stipends, whether it is approved for us to continue incorporating the money at the national level, or that money was directed to KPFK, the KPFK two subcarriers.
Okay. That motion was rescinded. That was put. Traditionally, the sideband monies have gone to the national office. There was a motion to change that. That was rescinded. So the sideband. It stays the same. Yeah.
My second question is to Jen regarding the 10th radio. My impression was that the proposed agenda of Big Ten Radio is to absorb the entirety of the assets of Pacifica Foundation. At one point, I got the impression they were talking only about KPFA. Will you please clarify that?
I was not involved in recording it, so I don't know.
So we don't know. It could
obviously be used for either just KPFA or for the entire network. So, okay. I don't know.
Thank you.
Okay. Roberta?
Yeah, my comments, I've been following the KPFA and the Big Tent and all these things for a while, as much as I can get from a variety of threads. What troubles me a little bit more is the original scenario of the KPFA Foundation by Dan Siegel and Margie Wilkinson, as I have been informed by others who were here then, was discovered by accident. Someone was doing an online search for a corporate ID and found multiple entities with the reference KPFA and then tracked down this document. I believe in 2016, at an online KPFA LSB meeting, this new nonprofit which had been enacted for about a year and a half, was challenged. Whenever it started, it's been out there for a while, and nobody knew until it was discovered. But KPFA ratified it and basically says, oh, don't have to shut it down. You never know. We might need it. So KPFA, according to an online meeting, heard about this and did not vote affirmatively to say this must be closed down and never used. It was, all right, you know, maybe someday we can use it. That's one thing. But this was discovered by accident. And another thing was the big tent was discovered by accident because of a donor recipient got this solicitation letter, which was sent out without announcement, and reached out to Bill Crozier and said, what is this all about? Had it not been for that person asking that question, we wouldn't know. So my feeling is there's so many agendas as we are wobbling. Is there some way at the national level or the IED level or our corporate council, whoever it is, to check into what else might be floating around? Because we don't know if there are other nonprofits that maybe don't stupidly have the name Pacifica or Station ID in it that pose some sort of vulnerability. And I don't know how we can get down to that or change a bylaw to make it impossible for such a thing to happen without full approval of membership, blah, blah, blah. But we have that thing. And also, I believe our CFO mentioned the hesitancy of KPFA's finance department to deliver timely financials, and he suggested, I read the quote, I didn't listen to it, that it looked like they were deliberately obstructing getting information. That certainly fits in with the big tent and the prior motion. So I think I have no control over this. I don't know what our legal options or bylaw or other options might be. But I can't pretend that I can just relax that all stations are working together to make us successful. And I'm very leery as to what we don't know. We can talk about what we do know or what we've discovered, but I don't know how we can go further and see if there are other things that we are missing. That's it.
Okay. The conspiracy is alive and well.
Yes.
Ismael?
Yes. I wanted to ask Grace, you mentioned something about a clause being added to something, or it sounded like a work description or something.
Yeah. It's. Do you have my sheet?
No.
Okay. Here we go.
I do now.
Two motions were passed.
Uh-huh.
They're lengthy. By the National Programming Committee. They're going to be on the agenda of the National Board this Thursday. We'll see if they pass the National Board. The first one would change the program director's job description to include all program directors, to include that the program director is expected to improve the listenership of the station. And then it shows how that would be figured out. So here's this. And the other motion is in here.
We have the other motion. Yeah. The other motion was?
Is that improve in a quantitative sense?
Yes, in a quantitative
sense. It's what?
Grace, the reason I ask is, would these affect the conditions of work under which they're carrying forth, because would it affect the union contracts? And if it does,
no, because the program directors and management.
Oh, okay.
They're not under the union.
So it's only for the program directors.
It's only for the program directors.
Okay.
And I did want to bring up something else that has to do with. I forgot about this. KPFA had brought forward a motion last year to allow a certain amount, a certain number of LSB members to participate in LSB meetings via the phone, because they have a few people who live far away from the station. And it was put on hold by the National Board because it kind of violates CPB open meeting rules, except for the phrase, in exigent circumstances.
So when we get that defined, I intend to bring that to the national board to allow remote participation in if there are exigent circumstances. So, for instance, I think, you know, in the next election, wherever, if somebody lives in Riverside and can only or you know, Santa Barbara, and can only make a few meetings a year, that we should, because of geographical diversity, or San Diego, we broadcast all the way down to San Diego, that we should allow a little bit of latitude, even though it's difficult in-person meetings to have some people participate by phone. But I think that that flexibility is needed, and I wanted to throw it out to the rest of you to see what you think. That will come up in the next few weeks, I think, on the national board level.
Thank you, Grace. Lawrence?
Yeah. So this sideman's motion, was that passed already?
It was passed.
Okay. And in regards to the KPFA Foundation and the Big Ten Radio Foundation, whatever it is, this is usurping of our service structure. And I don't see how somebody could get away with that. And I gathered that the letters or the information that went out was to major donors. Is that right? So that right there is a major violation of the bylaws. And whether somebody's chair or not chair, they should not be able to get away with that. They should be either removed or sanctioned, or at least admonished. And back to the KPFA Foundation, I know when I was on the Pacifica National Board at the time, that was thrown around my neck like those things you throw out of the boat.
An anchor.
Right.
Or a lifesaver.
And I was, a lifesaver. I was completely against that then. Even when my allies were not against that, I was against that then, I'm against that now. I think we need to operate in the best interest of the foundation. And the best interest of the foundation is to realize that we have 5 networks and we have other affiliates. That's the interest of the foundation. And whatever we can do to maintain that interest and to enhance that interest is what we should be focusing in on. So if this chair of the KPFA LSB did this, and there seems to be substantiated proof that she did, then, you know, at some point in time, a motion should be made. I'm not prepared to make a motion because I really don't feel like I'll be supported in making a motion to have it removed from the LSB at KPFA and send that motion to the PNB for action. So I don't know where that stands. I haven't been streaming the meetings because I'm doing a grad program right now, and I'm in over my head on research. So, I mean, this is where I stand with that. I'm very concerned about that. And I think that this board should consider standing up for the foundation and not for whatever allies or whatever slate it is. My time's up?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I listened to the KPFA online meeting that they reported, and KPFA is not going to remove their chair for that reason. But your suggestion that the PNB take that up, I think, is not out of line. It sounds good. Did you want to respond to that, Grace?
Yes, I wanted to respond to that. Lydia actually suggested a sophisticated motion to, I don't remember what it is, to reprimand or remove that person. Her name is Carol Travis. From the LSB or whatever. Now, it's my feeling personally that that group that put together the KPFA Foundation is in the faction that consists of, loosely speaking, Serene Roberts from New York, Lydia Brazone, and other people. And it would be most appropriate to first give the chance to that faction to suggest that person be removed. So, and we have very important business to do on the PNB, and to the degree that we get distracted by this,
It really, because it's controversial, it really impedes our work.
Right.
Our work a lot of times is very boring and dry and technical, and it doesn't spark people's interest. Gossip and this kind of thing really is much more interesting, but I think we have to prioritize and get the business of the foundation, put the business of the foundation first.
Can I have a real quick direct response? Because there was no alignment when it came to this KPFA Foundation. So I just want you guys to get that straight, that neither Serene nor myself when I was on the PMB nor Lydia were happy about this KPFA Foundation. In fact, we went and tried to have it revealed, you know, to the listeners in regards to that. So I just wanted to, because when Grace says others, I'm part of the others.
Yeah, well, and you've made it very clear that that you did not support that. So we appreciate that. I have Barbara, then Steve. Barbara?
Thank you. So I'm really happy about the motions that you put forward in terms of defining the role of and evaluating how the stations are going to be viable at the National Board. I just wanted to say that. And now that our Chief Financial Officer has more control in considering what you shared about KPFA and the 30... Oops, I didn't...
You didn't turn yourself.
That's not true. Wait, stop.
Now sit.
So is there leverage or weight that our Chief Financial Officer can do to make KPFA comply with these documents? I think we have to focus on, I mean, that's the big picture, is to get us financially viable, get that audit in. That's our foundation we have to work up from. So what kind of leverage can the National Board or does the Chief Financial Officer have to make them...
Can I respond because I'm on the audit committee? That is being done. KPFA is responding. All the other stations are ready. They're prepared, like over 90% prepared for the 2015 audit. The KPFA will comply. And the audit will begin at the very end of this month or the beginning of June. The audit committee is in the process. Jamie, you can. We're just about ready to hire an audit firm. So that will happen probably in the next week.
What year? What year?
For 2015.
Okay. Steve, you want to go ahead?
I think I have some points of clarification on KPFA Foundation. Go to this California Secretary of State site. Do a corporation search for KPFA Foundation. And if you do, you'll find out it was founded in 2013. And I'm not positive, I looked this up like a year ago, but I think Dan Siegel is one of the organizers on those papers. And also, they state, I believe, and I might be talking on this, that their purpose is to acquire the assets of KPFA should Pacifica dissolve. So they're sitting there, they would like to do this apparently, and they did 3 years ago. But remember, it takes a vote of the entire personnel of Pacifica to divest itself of any assets. That's damn near a poison pill on breaking up KPFA or breaking up Pacifica from the outside. You know, it would have to be an internal thing. It may be brief dealing with governments that would bring this about. And further on that real quick, it is the IRS that determines nonprofit status. It would be the IRS that would take it away from us. And they did that with the Christic Institute many years ago, and that's what destroyed that when Bush Sr. just had enough of them. And so they took their status. And that we might be vulnerable to that underneath the Republicans. But on a state level, what the Secretary of State or the Attorney General most likely would do would suspend or constrict our activities until we're brought back into line. And also, he used to be my congressman, Xavier Becerra, for 20 years. I met him a couple of times. I'm sure he wouldn't remember me. But I'm happy to dig into a task force that we have to approach him.
Jan, do you want to respond to that?
The important thing about... Steve is totally right that in order to break up the network internally, there would have to be a vote of the membership, which would be
near impossible.
On the other hand, the shortcut to that, a lot of people have seen, is if the corporation is in bankruptcy, then the bankruptcy court can do whatever it wants, good, bad, or indifferent. And we, of course, would have no control over it because, you know, on the one hand, there are people who are of the, you might say, the KPFA Foundation-oriented ones who would like to see the network broken up and push Pacifica into bankruptcy and, you know, thinking that they're going to be able to extricate KPFA or all the stations or whatever plan people have in mind. On the other hand, you just don't know what a bankruptcy court judge or trustee will do, and it's extremely expensive. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of thought that a lot of the problems that Pacifica has, financial problems and problems preparing for the audit and many other things, that has been created or at least supported somewhat by people who would like to see KPFK in bankruptcy and then split up. So, you know, that's one of the reasons that we have to get our audits together, and, you know, and we've been doing that. And I might add that one of the important things that happened, that has happened recently, is that just after Bill Crozier was made the new interim executive director, this nationwide fundraising, one-day fundraising effort took place within 2 weeks, in which we raised, like, I think
$150,000?
Something like that. A lot of money to help pay.
$200,000.
$200,000. That's to pay for the audit.
Right? To pay for the audit, yes. Anyway, so that's the situation there.
Thank you, Jen and Holly. So I'm just going to give some information here because there's a lot of talk, and this is also part of an answer to Fernando's question. I have the actual letter that was sent out by Big Tent Radio. And Big Tent Radio is different than KPFA Foundation, so I don't want this keeps getting mixed together. I don't know if the same people are involved or not. I'm not saying who is or isn't at all. I'm just saying Big Tent Radio sent out a letter to major donors. So someone had to have access to a list of major donors specifically in KPFA. And it said, we are working to establish a nonprofit 501c3. We're underway and being conducted. Once we are fait accompli, we will announce with a big splash. This is an invitation to save a corporate-free national radio network with as much or as little time as you wish. We invite and request you to join the board of Big Tent Radio Network. We intend to make an offer to the Collapsing Pacific Foundation to receive its assets and liabilities. Our aim is to save slash grow listener-sponsored radio to deliver news, information, ideas, and music that contribute to a more just, peaceful, healthy, sustainable culture while there is still time. Pacifica is collapsing. With a diverse, strong, capable board, this project can move forward. At some point, the network will be rescued and revitalized or gone. And then it states, the asset centers within ours, WBAI, KPFK, WPFW, KPFA, KPFT, plus 220 independent affiliates. And it goes on. So the intention of this big tent is the whole network, not just KPFA. So it's very broad-reaching and ambitious, and it puts, there's a lot more in here.
And that's a problem for my mind.
Let me finish. It puts a lot of fear in the people here that Pacifica is on the verge of financial collapse. So whatever this big tent, and I would entertain a motion like Lawrence was suggesting, if nothing else, symbolic that this board doesn't approve of KPFA. FA's chair, send that to the PNB for this kind of
action.
I think that Lawrence
is so
illegal. I think that Lawrence. Thank you. Okay, one moment. I believe that, as I said earlier, Lawrence's suggestion is not unwarranted for the PNB to take up. But as Grace mentioned, it's distracting, and you know, we need to save our network by getting these audits done, and that's Maggie, you're next.
Oh, I'm gonna pass it. I can just respond real quick, but even if the P&D just moves the table at the pass it, at least then it's in print, it goes in the minutes of our meeting, and it's a statement that's been made that this person can't be operating in, you know, yeah, immunity to do these kind of things.
I think the person should be removed from the board personally, but that's just my opinion. Okay, we've gone through everyone. Lance, you haven't spoken yet.
Was there a counter letter that went out to the to the same list?
We don't know who the list is.
Yes.
It was the donor list.
Okay, no, it's not to the donor list.
Oh, it's not?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Levi. Okay. You can answer.
It's not to the donor list. This was sent to celebrities. The effort was to reach out to major celebrities first to get them to be on the board of this big tent. Okay. I'm not sure. I don't think anyone knows. Now, there was a response by Bill Crozier on the Pacifica.org website. It's probably still up there.
Yeah, it's still there.
It's a response, big response, so you can read that. I can talk a lot about, yes, I am sure that a motion of some sort will arrive on the agenda of the National Board sometime soon. But, you know, I think we need to prioritize our work on the National Board.
Thank you. Jan?
I think it's important for the KPFK LSV members and each of us to go on record showing that we are in favor of keeping the network together and within the framework and bylaws that we have. I agree that at the moment the PNB doesn't need to take this up. It has a lot of other things, but we can make a motion and a resolution, I think it would be very symbolic to have it maybe co-sponsored by both Lawrence and Ali, and to just go on record opposing it and saying that we believe that the actions of the LSB chair were against there's a word in the bylaws. The best interests of the corporation. And we're against the best interests of the corporation. And we believe that she and anyone else who has worked for that be removed. And leave it at that. We can send it to the PNB, they can take it up, not take it up, or we can even we can even just make our resolution and not direct the PNB to do anything, because at this point it would be counterproductive to have it taken up. So,
take the statement further.
Yeah, that's where I was headed with this. I think we ought to weigh in, if nothing else.
I would suggest that Lawrence and Ali work on that motion and forward it to the governance committee.
Absolutely.
For the governance committee to fine tune for our next meeting to vote on.
Is it against one person? This Tracy person or
no.
Travis?
Travis. Is it one person?
What? No, she just refuses to tell who else is involved.
This is a rebuke. Is against Travis.
So we have come to the end of this session. I'm going to take Lawrence, and then we're going to move on to our committee report.
Just real quick, I'm not willing to go on board with a motion to just be subvalid. I believe she should be moved. So beyond that, I can't just engage in a symbolic motion.
Yeah, so I think that you and Ali are in consensus on that. If you can work on that motion and submit it to governance so that we can forward it to the PNB, if this body decides to approve it at our next meeting.
I haven't been receiving emails, but my emails is up in the line.
Okay.